In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our Old Testament reading, Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I still remember the first time I rode a roller coaster. I was about 12 years old. My parents took my brother and I to Walt Disney World. I had this friend in elementary school. His name was Nick. He'd been there, and for the last 3 months of our elementary school together, he had been talking about this roller coaster, Space Mountain. Again, we had been talking about it for 3 months, and, you know, hearing him talk, I was excited. But when I actually got to the roller coaster, and I could hear the click, 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 it sounded a whole lot faster than I had imagined. And I could feel the shaking of the floor as I stood in line. And it did not help my confidence at all that the ride attendant asked me 3 times, "Are you securely strapped in?" As far as my eye could see, the ride was mostly pitch black as well. So the first turns came, and my body was thrown to the side, and I thought I was going to get whiplash. And as the click, 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 click of the car climbed slowly to the top of the hill, I thought I was inevitably going to get cardiac arrest. And as I plunged through the stratosphere, my stomach dropped for the first time, and I couldn't breathe. I could almost read tomorrow's headlines. North Dakota boy dies in roller coaster crash. Finally, as the car hit the bottom of the hill, and it slowed for the blessed second, I had survived the fall. But then, it went up again, preparing for an inevitable drop. And I hung on for my dear, sweet life, and experienced for the first time that rhythm of a roller coaster. A slow, gentle ascent to the top, followed by a shrieking fall, followed by another gentle ascent to the top, and so on. The whole ride lasted about, 3 minutes. And it was just a puny Walt Disney World roller coaster, after all. But I had survived. And I have to admit, the roller coaster wasn't exactly what I thought it would be. I had been taken in by Nick and his visions of glory and forced to put my life in the hands of some unknown ride attendant who kept insistently asking me, "Are you securely strapped in?" Well, maybe you'd expect that from Disney or the North Dakota State Fair or Six Flags. But does God put unsuspecting people on his own roller coaster? Does he jerk people around by handing them over to some unanticipated adversity and then expecting that they're just going to adjust to it? Well, that's how it seemed for Jeremiah in our Old Testament reading. When God called Jeremiah to be his prophet, he promised success. He said that his word in Jeremiah's mouth would become true, and that Jeremiah would be an iron pillar against the whole land. The prophetic ministry, in other words, would be this glorious ride. But then, Jeremiah got to the actual ride, and it wasn't what he thought it would be. Nothing was happening except that Jeremiah was being beaten and put into stocks and ridiculed every time he spoke God's word. Jeremiah was in a steep descent. And he was not having a good time. You deceived me, he says, and I was deceived, O God. You are stronger than me, and you have prevailed. The word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. In essence, stop the ride, God. I want to get off. But he couldn't. Any more than I could have gotten off of Space Mountain. Why? Because God's word, it held Jeremiah like a seatbelt. He was locked in place. Jeremiah himself explains that when he tried to opt out of his job, God's word was like a raging fire in his heart. He tried to ignore it, and it overcame him. He was helpless. He could not get out of the roller coaster car. Now, it has been years since my first roller coaster ride. And I have figured out how to enjoy the thing, even though I still don't like them. The secret is, you have to trust the system. That is, you have to trust the very equipment that holds you in. You have to firmly believe that no matter what, it will not let you down. So whether you're ascending the hill on Space Mountain, or the pole position, or the wild thing, the renegade, the corkscrew, the Batman, or thousands of other different roller coasters, you got to tell your stuff like this. Well, you know, thousands of people have ridden this thing every single day without incident. And there are people who know what they are doing that actually inspect this equipment daily. And remember, there are all those backup systems to keep the cars from flying off the tracks as you go. And the seatbelt. The seatbelt, or steel bar restraint system, is securely fastened. These will keep you safe. You got to say that to yourself over and over and over. All that technology, you see, it becomes your friend, your solace, your comfort against the terrors of the roller coaster's steep drop. In truth, it's not all that different from what Jeremiah did. He put his trust in God's word, the very word that caused him so much grief in the first place. And so in the text, we see Jeremiah move from fear and frustration to confidence, and ultimately to exuberant joy. In the first part of the text, Jeremiah talks like a man who is in an uncontrollable fall. But suddenly, like a roller coaster changing directions, Jeremiah talks like a guy who just won the lottery, whose problems are all behind him. Listen to what he says out of the blue. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Therefore, my persecutors, they shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall not overcome me. They shall be utterly shamed with the humiliation for all time, which shall not be forgotten. What changed Jeremiah? Well, he did the only thing that a guy trapped on a roller coaster can do. He put his trust in the very word that held him in its grasp. And notice what God's word did. The God who deceived him and overpowered him. Surprise, surprise. Also held him secure and comforted him in the midst of his betrayal by his closest friends. Now, I hesitate to draw too direct a parallel between Jeremiah and you and me, because there are some obvious differences. There's some obvious distinctions here. But I think the parallel that you can draw is this bit about God's word. God does choose his people. Remember, he chose Jeremiah to be his prophet from his mother's womb. He chose Israel to be his people. And he chooses people to be his Israel. His word creates and wills and captures and holds us. Remember that God's word already got to you in your baptism. That's when God exercised his choice over you. That's when he called you by name, called you to be his own, called you out of darkness into the marvelous light of his salvation, called you from slavery to freedom, called you from death to life. For the Holy Spirit came to you and put his word, the word of the crucified and risen Christ, into your hearts. And he marked you with that cross of Jesus on your forehead and on your heart. It's done. And there is no escaping it. The fact is, you now belong to God. Like several other prophets discovered, like Jonah and Moses and our brother Jeremiah, there is no escaping God. And you know, life under God's hand isn't always a bed of roses, is it? It can be a real steep roller coaster, as many of you have already experienced and come to know. One minute, you are delighting in hearing the word of the Lord, and the next minute, you are wallowing in some past or present deplorable sin. One minute, you are joyfully celebrating a pregnancy, and the next, you are sorrowing over a miscarriage. One minute, you are happily married, and the next minute you find yourself tragically widowed or divorced. One minute you are healthy, healthy as a horse, and the next minute you are sicker than a dog. One minute you are celebrating birth, and the next minute you are mourning death. Frustration and fear and helplessness and irrelevance and sadness rush over you like a steep drop into oblivion. But wait, wait. What about God's word? Remember what God already promised you back in your baptism. He promised that none of your enemies, be they physical or spiritual, would ever prevail against you. He has slotted you for the resurrection to eternal life. That means that your own sin does not have the final say in shaping your life. The heartaches and the disappointments do not have the final word. Christ does. And he has already promised it to you. Your sins are forgiven. As Christ has been raised from the dead, so too shall you rise immortally. I will never leave you, Jesus says, and I will never forsake you. I will be your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my crucified, risen, and reigning right hand. That is God's promise to you. And so, in this life, as Paul says, we are crucified with Christ, and yet we live. And so it is no longer I or you who live, but it is Christ who lives in us. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. Life by faith. That sounds like Jeremiah riding a roller coaster. The roller coaster of his life in the flesh, putting his eyes firmly on the Word of God that God himself has given to him. You too. Hold on to that promise. Like Jeremiah before you, be confident that our Lord and Savior, he will not let you down. He will not let you go. He cares for you. God grant us such faith, now and forever. Amen.